Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Most people in this world believe that they are an immortal soul, or at least that they have an immortal soul. They believe that upon death, the soul goes on living. It goes on thinking and making decisions. They believe usually that when someone dies, that person is not really dead. Maybe the body is dead, they think, but the real person, the soul, the real you, goes on living. In heaven, maybe, or in some other form of paradise that they might believe in. Or perhaps they believe the person goes to hell to be punished in some sort of an everlasting fire, a hot lava pit that would torture someone forever, and a million years from now, they're no closer to being finished with the torture than the day that they began. Now, we've proven on other programs that man is not and does not have an immortal soul that goes on living upon death. We've proven that people do not go to heaven when they die, and in the future we'll talk about the truth concerning what people believe about hell as well. But for today's episode, I'd like to go back to Hebrews chapter 6. If you recall, we've been there before, and there are several foundational doctrines in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. Hebrews 6 and verse 1 again says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation." And these are some of those foundational doctrines that he goes on to list. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, the resurrection of the dead here is listed as one of these foundational doctrines of the Church of God. And we've covered most of these foundational doctrines in previous episodes, but today this is the one I'd like to focus on, this doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, because people are so confused about this. Essentially, people believe that the dead are not really dead. Now, I would like to ask the question, if the dead are not really dead, then why do they even need to be resurrected? And the Bible talks about the resurrection very extensively. If man is an immortal soul that goes on living, either in heaven or in hell, why would there be a resurrection of the dead? Now, I've been to funeral services before where the preacher, again, he may be sincere, and no doubt many of them are. Some of them may not be. But I've heard them talk about the individual, and they would even say things like, "Well, he or she is up in heaven looking down on us right now." And then a few minutes later, that same preacher in the same funeral service, the same funeral message, will start talking about the person being resurrected. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? It doesn't make any sense. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You see, it is appointed unto all men once to die. That's just part of life. We have to face that. Every human being that has ever lived has eventually gone to the point of death. This is a temporary physical existence that we experience, and this temporary physical existence that we enjoy and that we experience and that we learn from, it will end. And then what? Well, we need to know, because as it says here, it is appointed. It's an appointment that you have. It's an appointment that I have. All men have this appointment once to die. Now, again, what about people who say that the dead are not really dead? Well, aren't they rejecting what this verse says? What about people who say that the body is just dead, but the person is still living? Well, that simply is not what your Bible teaches. And even the understanding of the word resurrection and what it means, Webster's dictionary says, for the word resurrection, it means, quote, "the rising again to life of all the human dead before the final judgment. And it also states another definition. It says the state of one risen from the dead. Now again, why would anyone need to be risen from the dead? Why would anyone need to rise again to life if they haven't really died anyway? If someone cannot die, then that someone cannot be resurrected. Think about that. Now that's just kind of basic, isn't it? If someone can't die, well, they can't be resurrected. And yet the Bible talks about the resurrection of the dead as being one of the foundational doctrines of God's church, as Hebrews 6 shows. So you can begin to see why this is such a foundational doctrine. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This perhaps is the most important chapter in all of the Bible in understanding the subject of the resurrection. And Revelation 20 would probably be the other one, but there are other chapters, of course, that get into this. 1 Thessalonians 4 being one. We'll turn there as well in this program. But let's begin here in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll pick it up in verse 12. Now, if Christ, this is Paul writing to the congregation in Corinth, and he says, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? And essentially, if you teach that man is an immortal soul, then you're teaching that man never dies. And if there is no death, then there is no resurrection. So people are teaching exactly what the Apostle Paul is addressing here. Why is it that there are some that say there is no resurrection from the dead? Verse 13 says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Now, skipping down, verse 18 says, then they also who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, you see. Those who have died, that's how the Bible refers to death. Those who are fallen asleep, they are asleep, and they have to be revived. They have to be resurrected. But if Christ was not resurrected, then those people who are dead, well, then they're perished. They're gone. They have no future. You see, without a resurrection, we have no future. But because of the resurrection, we have hope, real hope. Verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. See, we have to have hope far, far, far beyond this life. And we do have hope far beyond this life, and we have hope because of the resurrection. If we deny the resurrection of the dead, as these verses even point out, we're actually denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that leaves us with no hope. The truth about the resurrections gives real hope and real comfort. And I know that a lot of people hold on to this idea of the immortality of the human soul, thinking that man just goes on living. And they hold on to that because maybe they're trying to give each other hope or hold on to some sort of hope for themselves. But it doesn't bring real hope. It doesn't bring real comfort, because only the truth brings real hope. Only the truth brings real comfort. Jesus Christ said in John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what sets us free from fear, free from anxiety, free from worry and stress. And the truth is what gives us real hope. That's what gives us real hope. Going on, verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, he did die, but then he was resurrected and become the first fruits of them that slept, or the first reaped. He's just the first to be resurrected from the dead, of those that have slept. And all of mankind has met with that appointment of death, as Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says. But Jesus Christ, he died, but then he was resurrected from the dead, and he's just the first, verse 21, for since man came, since by man came death, talking about from Adam, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And that's talking about Christ there. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, just like we read in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, all die. But notice this, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now all die. As in Adam, all die. But even so in Christ shall all, that's the same all, every human being that has ever lived and died will be resurrected. But notice verse 23. Now that's the plain teaching of your Bible. But notice verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits or the first reaped. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. So there is a time order. Every man in his own order. Notice, all are going to be resurrected. This is the plain teaching of the Bible. And Christ was the first, only the first, as these verses and so many others clearly show. But there is a time order. There is a time order in how we are resurrected, when we're resurrected. Now, what is that time order that the Apostle Paul is talking about? We're going to get into that after the break.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG and streaming online at kpcg.fm. Is there life after death? That's a question that is asked and answered in our free book, The Incredible Human Potential, Chapter 12, has that title, Is There Life After Death? Herbert Armstrong starts out by saying this, why this mystery about life after death? Why so many beliefs of so many different religions? How can we know? Can we believe God? Adam and Eve didn't. Few believed Christ. That is, few believed what he said. Could we believe God if he told us? And of course, that question is being asked in relation to the question, is there life after death? That's the topic of today's program, The Resurrection of the Dead. Make sure that you request this free book, The Incredible Human Potential. It answers this question, and it's a question that's on every human's mind at some point. Is there life after death? Answer that question by continuing to listen to this episode of Live by Every Word and requesting our free book, The Incredible Human Potential. It's at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. We're looking into today the subject of the resurrection and what the Bible teaches about man being resurrected. And in fact, there are three resurrections that the Bible talks about. It clearly says that as in Adam, all die, as we noted just before the break. But then that same all of mankind, through Christ, will be resurrected, even as Christ was resurrected, but he was only the first to be resurrected from the dead. All of mankind will be resurrected from the dead. And by being dead, that's what we are. When we die, we are dead. It's not just the body that dies. You can't be resurrected if you're not dead. Now, what is this time order that the Apostle Paul wrote about over there in 1 Corinthians 15. Well, let's begin the second half of the program looking at that. 1 Thessalonians 4 gives us the answer. 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll begin in verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep or them who are dead, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Yes, we sorrow when someone dies, but we don't sorrow and grieve as others who have no hope. You see, we have hope. And as we pointed out there in 1 Corinthians 15, we have hope because of the resurrection. We sorrow, yes, but we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So God is going to resurrect those who are dead, and they're going to meet Christ in the air as he is returning to this earth, as he is on his way, coming from heaven, just like in the book of Acts, where he left from the Mount of Olives and went up into heaven, and the angel was there saying, well, look, he's going to return just the same way, coming down from heaven, and his feet will be planted on the Mount of Olives. The book of Zechariah points that out, so many other verses. Revelation 19 talks about this. And the saints, as he is returning, will be resurrected and will rise up in the sky, in the clouds, and meet him, and then descend back down to this earth with Jesus Christ, where the kingdom of God will be set up, and the rulership of God and the reign of God over this earth. And for 1,000 years, there's going to be peace and joy and happiness. And then, of course, it just continues on from there. Notice, everything I just said is recorded here, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, those who are still alive when Christ returns, those that are Christ, who have God's Holy Spirit and are being led by God's Holy Spirit, will they then will rise up. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. See, this is not up in the third heaven, as we talked about in the last program. This is when Jesus Christ has left heaven, left the third heaven, and he's already back down in the earth's atmosphere, and he's in the clouds, and those who are dead are resurrected, and they rise up to meet him in the clouds. Those who are alive then follow that and rise up to meet Jesus Christ, and they're changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15 says, and then we descend down to this earth with Jesus Christ, feet planted on the Mount of Olives, and a glorious, glorious time of peace will be ushered in and brought to this earth. Let me just continue that. Verse 17, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this brings real hope, and this brings real comfort and real peace of mind, because it is the truth, and the truth is what brings comfort. The truth is what sets us free. Let's notice further the more details about this first resurrection, we could call it, over in Revelation chapter 20. All mankind will be resurrected, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, but every man in his order, as it also says there. There is a time order. There is a first resurrection, there is a second resurrection, and we'll talk about those. And then, in fact, there is, beyond that, a third resurrection as well. Now, in Revelation 19, it talks about Jesus Christ returning to this earth. The very beginning of chapter 20 talks about Satan the devil being bound up and put into a bottomless pit and shut up so that he can't deceive the nations any longer until the next 1,000 years have been fulfilled. Now, after that time, he'll be released for just a little season, but for those 1,000 years, he will not be allowed to deceive the nations anymore. Jesus Christ will be ruling over this earth, and the saints with him. And notice verse 4 now. It says here in Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. See, these are thrones that the saints will sit on, positions of rulership, kings and priests, as other scriptures point out. And there are lesser thrones under the throne of Jesus Christ. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now again, that word soul just means life. So the lives of those who had been lost, those who had given their lives in service to God, all of those who had died in Christ, as we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4, they are resurrected, they live again, and they actually live and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Now, that's the first resurrection. That's just exactly what 1 Thessalonians 4 said. It's exactly what 1 Corinthians 15 says. It's the same thing here in Revelation 20. But notice it says, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So it's clearly saying, look, those who belong to Christ, they will be resurrected first. They'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. Then after the 1,000 years are finished, there's going to be a second resurrection. Verse 6 even says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. And it talks about they'd be priests of God and of Christ, and they'll reign with him 1,000 years. So there is a first resurrection. Then there is a second resurrection. And look, verse 7 goes on and shows that Satan, he will have been imprisoned throughout those 1,000 years. Like verse 3 says, he's going to be released for a short season, as verse 3 says, and then that takes place in verse 7. And after that, everyone else who has ever died will be resurrected. Now, most of humanity will be brought back to life in this resurrection. And that's when they finally will have God's truth revealed to them. They'll be given their chance to become a part of God's family, a part of God's kingdom. And we can even call this time period the second resurrection. We can call it the Great White Throne Judgment based on verse 11. Notice verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ sitting on a great white throne. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So here is another resurrection. Here is that second resurrection. And all of the dead that were not in that first resurrection at this point will be resurrected. The small and the great, those who were what people called nobodies in this life, and those who were great, those who were emperors and kings and very wealthy businessmen, whatever. Everyone, the small and the great, they're all going to be resurrected and stand before God. It says, and the books were opened. That word for books is Biblia. And the Bible is going to be opened up for the first time for them, where they actually will have an opportunity to learn what God's truth is. And it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. They're going to have an opportunity to receive eternal life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, this is resurrection. It's a physical resurrection to a physical life. Ezekiel 37 points that out. You can study that. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 through 14 points that out. Where there it's talking about skin and tendons and ligaments and breath going back in the nostrils. So it's certainly not resurrection to a spirit life at that point. And then Isaiah 65 and verse 20 shows that the duration of this time of judging is going to be 100 years. And so that's the amount of time people will be given to live a life again and to prove whether or not they want God's way of life. Now, this is the second resurrection. Now, the Bible speaks of one more resurrection, a third resurrection, and you'll find that in the very next verse, the next few verses here. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell, or it means the grave, delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So everyone by this time will have been given an opportunity. By the time the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ is over, and then this 100-year period of the great white throne judgment where everyone will be resurrected from the dead, both the small and the great. After all of that, then there is a third resurrection, and all of those who are not found in the book of life, those who have rejected God, and again, by this time, everyone will have been given the opportunity to repent and to become part of God's family, but not everyone will have accepted it. And the ones who have rejected God and his way will be resurrected. and cast into a lake of fire, and this will end their existence forever. Now, as sad as that is, and as serious as that is, it's actually very merciful on God's part. There's no eternal torture that God puts someone through. There's no everlasting hellfire that someone just flounces in forever and ever. God is very merciful. He mercifully ends their life so that they don't have to go on living forever in misery and sin, living contrary to God's way. And look, if they did that, they'd be living contrary to the only way of life that will bring happiness. And that's not good for them, and God's not going to allow that. And again, very mercifully, God doesn't allow that. See, some are going to be resurrected and be put into this lake of fire, and that is the second death. As verse 14 says, these are people who have already died once. They've already made that appointment with death, like Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says. They've died once physically, and now this is the second death that is being talked about here in verses 14 and 15. Malachi 3 also talks about this. The Apostle Paul, in his defense before Felix, if you know that story, you can turn over to Acts 24. We won't turn there now, but it's in verses 14 and 15, and it's in his defense before Felix. He says there, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So there is a resurrection for the just, and there's a resurrection for the unjust as well. Jesus Christ even talked about this in John 5. John 5 and verse 25 says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." So obviously Christ here is talking about a resurrection. And then verse 28, he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves," it doesn't say all that are in heaven or all that are in hell, "all that are dead in their graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." Notice this, "they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, that's what Jesus Christ himself taught. Those who refuse to live God's way will have died the second death, and there never will be a resurrection from that point. But this is, again, a very merciful act on the part of our Creator. And if these people had an immortal life, they would be miserable eternally. And so God very lovingly and very wisely and very compassionately doesn't allow that to happen. What a great God we serve. And when the resurrections have finally taken place, those left alive will have an immortal life, one composed of spirit rather than dust. And what hope that should give us all. Let's just conclude over in 1 Corinthians 15 where we began. Skipping down to verse 51. Listen to this beautiful vision, this beautiful hope. Verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." See, this is why we don't all have to die and stay dead eternally, because there is a resurrection. And when Jesus Christ returns, at the sound of a trump, the dead will be raised, and raised incorruptibly, and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.